Welcome to the Unstoppable Women, the show where we speak with women whom we look up to with their journey achieving goals that are an inspiration for all of us. We are excited to start season two of Unstoppable Women with someone we all know, someone who has been our guide through the seductive world of cinema and now more. Welcome to the show, Anupama Chopra.
Thank you so much for having me.
Anupama, you've had a very interesting journey over the last 30 years or so, right? You've been connected to the world of entertainment on all sides through your mother, your husband, your sister. Did you ever consider another career option ever?
No. No, it didn't even occur to me. It's like I discovered film journalism and then just fell in love and have been in love ever since.
So when did you figure out this true purpose or mojo, you know, that this is it, this is a space for me and it's going to drive me for the rest of my life? Because you've been at it 3 decades, right? So I just want to know what's the source.
Yeah, so very early. Very early, I would say late 80s. So I graduated from St. Xavier's College in Mumbai. And I was an English lit major very, very sort of, in love with language, with words, and not really so much in love with films, curiously. But I didn't know what to do and sort of fell into a job at Movie Magazine, which now no longer exists. And it was genuinely, it was done as a lark, you know, ki chalo, try karte hai types. And who knew, within a few months, I just felt like I understood that this was my happy place and I never wanted to leave. And I just wanted to be a professional. I wanted to learn how to be a professional journalist rather than just, kind of figure it out as I went along. So then I went to the US and I got a master's in journalism at Northwestern University. I worked in New York for about 10 to 11 months at Harper's Bazaar magazine. But through that whole thing, I knew that I always wanted to come back to Bombay and write about movies.
Wonderful. And I also know that you had some, I think you stayed in Hong Kong for some time.
I did. That was high school. So I did my 9th, 10th, 11th grades in at the Hong Kong International School. We lived there for 3 years.
Okay. How was that?
You know, it was amazing. It was the first time I had lived abroad, though we moved around a lot. My father worked with a multinational. So, he was transferred about every 3 years or so. But this was the first time we were actually living outside of the country. And it was such an interesting place. This was, of course, pre-1999. The island hadn't been handed over yet. And it was a magical cosmopolitan place with, of course, the locals and the British and Americans and Indians. So it was really the proverbial melting pot.
And so this was your school time, right? I mean, you mentioned. And 3 years, precisely 3 years. So you never felt that time that you want to stay abroad, stay away from India. What was the reason for you to be pulled back to India? Is it again Bollywood or?
No. So my father then was transferred back to India and we moved to Mumbai. And yes, I did think about going to the States for my undergraduate studies. But the truth was we couldn't afford it. My parents are middle class, my father's a working professional, and there was no way they could afford to send two daughters out abroad, on an undergraduate level. At that time, scholarships were very, very hard to get. So then it made more sense to go to college in Mumbai and then, go abroad for a post-grad, do a master's.
Okay. And how did you tackle the tightrope of being a movie critic and also belonging to the filmmaking family? It's a very interesting combination.
It is. The truth is, the only way to tackle it is to not ever review anything that comes out of anyone who's connected with you. So, of course, that's my husband, that's my sister, that's my brother, Vikram Chandra, on whose book Sacred Games was based. So I couldn't review Sacred Games. So you have to draw that line in the sand very clearly. You cannot say I'm related, but I'm still reviewing this film or this series. And other than that, it still is a tricky negotiation because you are, you know, Trishanku, between the heavens and the earth, you're just hanging there. And you do know people socially. You do, your close family members have relationships. And yet you have to then finally do reviews and then say what you feel. And people get hurt and people get upset. But, you know, it is the nature of the beast. And if you can't do that, then I don't think you should be a film critic.
Okay. So, you know, I'm very interested to ask you one question. With so much cinema around, right? Your DNA, your core, where you come from, and now the family you're married into, and your core purpose. Did you ever feel that you want to get away from it and do something else, or just take a sabbatical for some time and, you know, draw your purpose from some other activity?
No. I don't think I'd be any good genuinely at anything else. This is all I know. This is all I love. This is what keeps me going, you know, on Sunday. By Sunday evening, I'm raring to get back to work. The truth is, perhaps it would be different if I was still doing exactly what I did 25, 30 years ago, which is work for a print magazine. But, you know, I have changed so many formats. I moved from print to television. I was a television anchor for like 15 years. For the last 7 years, I've been a digital journalist with Film Companion, which is a platform I founded. So the journey, and so in the last 6, 7 years, I've become an entrepreneur and a film critic. Entrepreneur is not the smartest hybrid on the planet, but it is what I am. So I think the responsibilities have changed, the nature of the work. Of course, the fundamental is still being a film critic, being a film reporter. That doesn't change. But the other things that I do, you know, I got very involved with the Mumbai Film Festival. So I think all of those things have just fired my passion and never allowed me to get bored.
That is amazing, Anupama. And, you know, the genesis of the show was all about getting women to realize that, you know, you have to keep your mojo alive. You play many roles in life, right? All of us are mothers, daughters, professionals. But there is something as a life purpose which we shouldn't give up. And I think that's why I was trying to, you know, understand how deeply rooted your purpose is, and, you know, which is deeply driving your passion for it for so many years. And our listeners would love this. So as a woman journalist in the world of cinema, what are the challenges you faced?
You know, truthfully, I don't think my gender has, or at least I've never thought that I am facing this. I've never allowed myself to believe that I'm not getting something because I'm a woman. The truth is also that perhaps I would have faced it if I'd wanted to go into politics or business or sports, which are traditionally more male fields. But when I started as a film journalist, genuinely, there were very few people who cared. Cinema and Hindi cinema and Hindi film journalism was not exactly an aspirational career. There was just me and there was my boss, Madhu Jain, both of us obviously female, who just loved and obsessed about the movies and convinced Mr. Arun Puri at India Today that, you know, just let us write about it, like literally every issue, you know. And so genuinely, I've never in 25, 30 years felt like, oh my God, this was an opportunity I didn't get because I'm a woman. I think the challenges I faced would be challenges anyone would face. It is about finding legitimacy. It is about getting your voice across. It is, yes, I'll tell you what is different perhaps now with the advent of social media. I think the kind of abuse that women get is perhaps worse, though again, I'm not saying this from any point of research or knowledge, but, you know, I have, it gets ugly. It just really gets ugly. And finally, of course, everything boils down to we'll have you raped, and it's just nasty. I don't know if male critics get that kind of, that kind of vile stuff hurled at them, but maybe they do. I genuinely don't know. I think it's never been for me a consideration that I'm a woman and therefore I didn't have this.
Lovely, Anupama. You know, so I always believe that on a scale of negative to neutral to positive, you know, it's all about the attitude and which filter you're looking life from, and you see the solutions likewise. So absolutely, I kind of resonate with you. And I think our listeners should listen to this, because obstacles are only from the lens you see life. So you and your sister are trailblazers in your own ways, right? And do you see yourself as inspirations for future generations? Because what you've done and what you've carved as a niche, and you made like such a big name in that niche for yourself, there are generation and generations who will be inspired. I see your daughter following your footsteps. What are your thoughts about it?
No, I would. Thank you. That's very kind of you to say, but I would never be presumptuous enough to claim that I will inspire generations. I think of myself as a worker ant. Okay. Every day I go to work. I love what I do, which is an enormous privilege. And I just try and do it to the best of my ability. I am at that point where what excites me now is being able to create and perhaps push the larger ecosystem. So it's not really so much about my career and my, you know, how many hits did I get? I think I'm a little now past that. What's exciting for me is that, like, I can create something like Film Companion, and, you know, we provided a platform for so many interesting voices on cinema. We've kind of nurtured so many great conversations. I love that. I love the team that I work with. I love that I learn from younger critics and they keep me on my toes. You know, so for me, all of that is what is really interesting and exciting. As for inspiring, I don't know if anything I do can help somebody. I'll be very happy, but genuinely, I would never presume to say that, oh my God, what I've done is so amazing. Frankly, there are many, many critics in the world, many who are way more erudite than I am, who are way more learned than I am, who are way more articulate, and who just write with the flair that, frankly, I read them and I want to weep.
I think you're being completely modest. You have one sitting in front of you. That's me. I'm completely inspired by your journey. And I want to share a secret. I just wanted to be a film critic myself when I was a kid. But then I got into media and content side of the business. It's been 2 decades now. But I've always looked up to you. I've always followed your YouTube channel, your Instagram handle. And it's amazing as a businesswoman how you're balancing various roles which you are playing. Please tell us, how do you do it? Your professional and your personal balance?
Like I said at the beginning, you know, the elusive life-work balance. The truth is, I'm not even sure there's such a thing, you know. Is there a thing as this great work-life balance? I work myself to the bone, and it gives me great joy. So what is the... I don't know. What's the balance I'm really seeking? Yeah, sometimes it goes too far. And then I have my husband who's the complete opposite. You know, he always says that he's like a lion and I'm like a squirrel. I'm just leaping everywhere and wanting to do, but I'm just greedy. I always feel like I'm at that place in my life and my profession where I can make things happen. I can connect the dots. And if I don't do that, then I'll really regret it. So I always want to do too much. I'm always doing too much. But that's a choice I make. And it's such a privilege to be in this position where you make choices and you only do the work that really kind of gets you fired up in the morning. I don't have any great work-life balance. I did, of course. It was different when my kids were younger. Now they're both over 20. So, my parenting is now a different mode. It's not really about, it is about spending a lot of time together, but it's, the conversations are different, you know? So I don't think I've ever found that work-life balance, man. I don't know which woman has, frankly.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, especially after you have kids, I have a small one. I can only see Durga Roop in us, especially the first 2 years when they don't let you sleep. And then you realize, aha, so this is what we have signed up for the rest of our life. And that's just absolutely the beginning.
And you don't retire from that job, man. Absolutely. Nobody, there's no, you know, there's not keep 20 ho gaye to bas chalo, now they're
new
on their
challenges.
Own. No,
you're New challenges,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I see you have a lot of pets, right? I was looking at your Insta handle. So you want to talk about Laddu?
Yes. Oh my God, Laddu is the newest. He's adorable. He's a chow chow. He was a gift from a friend. And he's really smart. He's getting bigger and bigger, when he came in, he was this really cute puppy, and he's already at that point when I bend down to pick him up, like I hear a creak in my lower back, which is also a sign that I'm getting older and Laddu is getting bigger. But yeah, we have a lot of dogs. We love dogs, and my daughter Zuni happens to be one of those people who can love cats equally. I can't say I am that. So we also have one cat.
That's a rare one, I've heard.
Yes.
So they are all like staying at home, all these seven dogs of yours, and
no,
all in
no.
harmony?
We have five in Bombay. And we have a farmhouse about 3 hours out of the city, where we have four other dogs. So the farm guys don't mix with the city guys because the size is very different. And there wouldn't be harmony, I think, for too much longer. So, so we go back and forth between them.
Lovely. I think man's best friend, absolutely.
Bilkul.
Just keeps you.
Bilkul.
Keeps you, in a good mood. Either kids, dogs. I think I love that energy around. Keeps you, you know, back in the present moment every second. So you know, you've achieved so much, and you know, I've been watching your interviews. Like I said, I see so much of your content. Being a content person myself, I just keep asking myself, Anupama is doing so much, and what keeps her going? What is her overarching ambition? You know, what next, Anupama? Is there a book coming up? Is there a movie? What's on the radar now?
So, you know, I've just had a book released in January. It's called A Place in My Heart. And it's been published by Penguin India. And it's actually a sort of it's movie recommendations, but it's also a kind of nostalgia filled sort of essay on my, I mean, it's not one essay, it's many, it's 51 on, you know, my time as a film journalist. It's a kind of mix of many things. So no, there won't be another book for a while because I've just done this. I think my larger ambition now is really to kind of take Film Companion to the next level. The platform celebrates its 8th anniversary in July. And I really want to find ways to really create more space for credible and engaging film journalism. I think some of the conversation around entertainment and cinema has become, and I don't have a problem with it, I don't look down on it, but has become very reduced to celebrity, lifestyle, yay or nay, gossip. And, you know, I just feel that there's a place for that, and we all enjoy it. I like I said, I'm not judgmental, but I just feel like there's so much more to the movies. There's such a profoundly influential art form that there needs to be more credible conversations around it, and that's what we're trying to create at Film Companion.
And with Film Companion, is it more of an editorial, more content driven approach, or it's, you're open for partnerships, collaborations? Because I, you know, honestly,
oh,
I come from a,
yeah,
you are, okay,
absolutely open. Of course it was editorial driven, because I'm an editorial person, you know. So it's very funny, we are in one of those situations where our editorial is superb, monetization, technology, all the stuff that I don't understand is what we struggle with every single day.
I was so tempted to see your content, and I'm like, why isn't she doing paid partnerships? Why don't I see a brand there?
So Shailaja, we would love to do paid partnerships, and we do a lot of branded work, but all of our branded work, anything that's advertorial is always marked as advertorial. We do not believe in that model of passing off content that's paid for as actual editorial, because it's not, it's marketing. You know, so I'm very, very clear that that doesn't happen in Film Companion. But we are happy to do paid partnerships, and we do. We work with a bunch of brands.
So, you know, this entire FC Reels, I saw something, one of the hashtags, and I was like, wow, you know, one of the smartphone categories would love to do this, because that's what marketers discuss in the boardrooms. How do we get the film fraternity to collab and do something in the UGC space and the social space? And I think I see a lot of potential for your platform. Absolutely.
Well, please, when this is over, drop me a line. Give me some give me advice, because clearly my entrepreneur side is not really where it needs to be.
Come on, Anupama. I'm just like, I just see the lens from a brand plus editorial.
Totally. So, yeah. Why not? Because I don't. So I'm like, hey, yaar, you know, we'll just make it and somebody will show up, and that's not how it works anymore.
Yeah. Absolutely. I get that. So has the evolution of OTT given a better chance to women creators to get noticed?
Absolutely. I'm not sure so much that it's just women creators. I think it's just women. It's women artists. Women directors, women showrunners, because the OTT doesn't have the pressure of box office, they are more willing to take risks. They are more willing to, really acknowledge that there can be all kinds of women. You know, look at the work that women of a certain vintage are doing on streaming platforms, from Sushmita to Madhuri to Raveena Tandon to Lara Dutta. You know, it's fabulous. It's fabulous. And these are not women who are really getting solid, meaty roles in cinema anymore, you know. But look at what they're doing on OTT. And I think that's so exciting, because there is space there, and nobody is looking at the Friday and saying, ki opening kya thi?
And, you know, with the OTT and the way other, how art is imitating real life. So there is hardly any difference I see between tier one, tier two towns, right? If you see tier two, the kind of content which was created for those towns was a little different. But, well, I mean, last 2-3 years, the revolution has happened. You know, even the kind of movies which are coming up, whether it's the Chandigarh Kare Aashiqui, or a lot of other scripts, they are completely coming from targeting the tier two towns. But it's very bold. You know, it's a changing India. India has completely changed in the last 18, 24 months. And that's what, from a brand space or a marketing space also, we are trying to really, pace up. Because consumers move really fast.
Absolutely. And it's so exciting. More recently we had Badhai Do, which is also so exciting that you are acknowledging and you have A-list actors playing gay protagonists, you know, and that's a big, it's a mainstream movie. So I think it's fantastic.
So, you know, I've been reading a bit about your son, who's an aspiring cricketer, and obviously your daughter is already established as a writer. But how do you want your children to look at you? You know, I know that you're being modest when you say you're not inspiring them, but I see what they're doing in their life is completely coming from, you know, what they see parents doing.
Right. I would like them to see me now as a confidant, now as somebody they can talk to about anything, as a close friend. And I would like them to see, take away, if anything, just the work ethic. Because, you know, I don't believe that I'm all that talented. I don't believe I'm massively successful. But I know, the only thing I know is that I'm willing to work really hard. And I think that's the secret sauce. You know, you work really hard. You enjoy it. And that in itself, you know, the process becomes so satisfying that whether you succeed or not is really the cherry on the cake. And I hope that that's what they take away from me.
Lovely. So are you going to make a film?
Me? No, never, never.
Why not?
I can't. I have no talent to make a film. It takes a very, very special kind of talent to make a film. And you have to be, as passionate as I am about watching movies, you have to be 10 times more passionate to be actually making them, because it is backbreaking work. And I don't believe I have the talent.
I'm very tempted to ask you one question. You know, I've been watching your interviews and a lot of celebrities come and, you know, completely open their heart and some don't. But the ones who do open their heart, they do talk about, you know, how they basically prepare for the role, right? I saw one with Ranveer Singh when he spoke about Khilja, right? How he actually goes into this 3 weeks prep time and he only ate red meat for a year and a half and got into that gorilla, you know, sort of like a feel, you know, feeling like a gorilla under his skin. So do you think this is what sets apart, you know, celebrities like Ranveer Singh, who would really prep for those roles while the others are a little different in their approach, or they could be just multiple approaches when they're preparing for their roles?
No, there are multiple approaches. There's no one size fits all when it comes to acting. You know, so there are people who are much better with spontaneity. There are people who are much better with lots of workshopping and prep. And there's no way to say one method is better than the other. I think, but more and more what I see in Hindi cinema and cinema across the country is that truly now talent ki kadar ho rahi hai. You know, you have to be able to act. You know, I remember it was very funny when I started as a journalist, there was a star secretary. At that time, managers were called secretaries, okay? And he said to me that, why don't you also, you know, kind of get into the movies? And I was like, I looked at him really shocked and I said, but I can't act. And he said, wo kisko chahiye? So at that point, it didn't matter, okay? I don't think that conversation is possible anymore. I think every other person is a superb actor. You know, look at Rajkumar Rao, look at Vicky Kaushal. You know, just look at the work that is happening and the kind of sort of just the level of commitment. And, you know, when a Vicky does Udham Singh, you know, look at the performance. Look at what they put. Look at what Adarsh Gaurav put into being in The White Tiger. So I think now everybody's putting in 100%. I don't think there's room for that, even for 75-80 anymore.
Mm. Well, I mean, the heartthrob of the season is Tahir. Amazing.
Absolutely. I mean. And how lovely. And he's such a fine actor, you know. And he was a fine actor when he came in Mardani all those years ago, you know. And he was so good, and it's taken him this long to finally get the sort of accolades he deserves.
Yeah, I mean, I loved his Kali Kali Aankhe, the best from the lot which has come, 83, and you know, but amazing. I mean, I saw your interview again. I think, you know, just the way it's written, directed. I think fabulous job done by the entire crew. So we are almost at the end of the show, but I want to ask you our unstoppable quick five, Anupama. So brace up. What makes you unstoppable?
I think my family. I think my husband and children and extended family really kind of gives me all the kind of juice that I need to keep going.
Okay. Second, one person who think is the biggest influence in your career.
You know, it would have to be the bosses I've had, right, who gave me the opportunity. So like I said, Mr. Arun Puri at India Today, Pranoy, Dr. Pranoy and Radhika Roy at NDTV 24/7. You know, they were the first people who said to me, get in front of the camera. And I'm like, how do you even know I can do this? And they said, no, just do it. And then Uday Shankar, who was at Star, you know, he gave me a massive show to do for Star World and then push me to do the same thing in Hindi. He was like, sharam nahi aati, UP ki ladki Hindi nahi bolni aati. And I was like, shit, Uday, I don't know if I can do this. And I did it.
Yeah.
You know, so I think all of them have been massive influences on my career.
Lovely. One thing you would do differently in your life?
Not stress as much. You know, I think when big changes came, as they did, you know, when I stopped working for India Today, when the Star World show, the contract wasn't renewed, it was really like I felt like I'd hit some sort of a low. But the truth really is that new doors always open. and doors open that take you on a bigger and better and more exciting journey, you know, because if the Star World show hadn't shut down, I would have never become a digital journalist. And this has been such an exhilarating ride. So I think you have to keep the faith and just keep going.
Keep going, yeah. So next is a film that blew you away, other than Parinda, of course.
A film that blew me away is a film called Kumbalangi Nights, which is a Malayalam film that I saw, I want to say, about 2 or 3 years ago. It's just a fantastic, moving, beautifully shot and acted film.
Malayalam cinema is another episode.
Yes, it is indeed.
Yeah. My final one, quick, unstoppable quick five for you, is a film you would have liked to make.
Hey, but I can't make. I can't make movies.
That's being honest.
I can't make. I can only, my husband says, ki tera achha job hai, aisi room mein baith ke burai karo.
Oh, it was lovely talking to you, Anupama. So much lovely, you know, this vibe we've shared, this space we've shared is going to be a memory with me forever. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I wish you all the best with all your endeavors in life. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Join us again next week for more inspirational stories from Unstoppable Women.